We're working on a series just exploring the testing of our faith that several writers in the scripture say is necessary. So we've been considering just in what's involved in passing the test. The tests have to come. Perhaps the one thing that various writers, but we know for sure the Apostle Paul kind of like feared he didn't want to, you know, at the end have failed the test. Don't come up short of passing. So we're just considering what's involved in passing the test. We've noted that the tests come by means of various trials. And all those trials that come in various forms, they call for and they produce in us endurance, perseverance. And we've talked some about that. You know, we've looked at some of the specifics found in the scripture of what endurance is needed for. If you want to make it to the end, you have to endure. You endure to the end. By your endurance, by your perseverance, you gain your own soul, you gain your life. If you want to make it through hard, sometimes the only way to make it through hard is to persevere and to endure, or to bear fruit. Fruit is born with perseverance. So we've looked at some specific things that, you know, scriptures identify as what endurance is needed for. And then last week we considered a little bit one of the things that causes various trials. In one of the arenas where the various trials come that test us and try us. And that arena that we looked at last week is just as you work, as you desire to be the person, and as you pursue making the contribution that the Lord has for you to make to build up the people of God. The manifestation of the Spirit given to you for the common good, to quote Corinthians. In short, just to be His servant on His behalf to the people of God. You're going to share in the sufferings of Christ. You're going to be bearing some of the dying of Christ, that others might experience some of the life that He gave us. And I suggested to you that just being the Lord's servant, making that contribution to the people of God that He has for you to make, it may be one of the hardest things that you ever do. Many, many passages in the New Testament that speak of the trials that come are connected to people trying to fulfill the ministry, the service that the Lord has for them. And of course, it's not just the New Testament. For many, throughout the scriptures, the hardest thing that many of the saints did was what they did connected to the people of God. I said last week that I knew of perhaps only one thing, one other area that perhaps would cause more various trials than being the Lord's servant. And today I want to talk about that other area that perhaps causes even more trials, more various trials, more testing than even that area of service. And I think what that area is being a mature saint. So being a servant costs lots of various trials, probably only eclipsed by the fact if you want to be a saint, a mature saint. Some trials are going to come your way before you're one of those. I just want to look at that. I think it would be possible to show you many scriptures from multiple places that speak to that issue. But instead, I thought I would just show you the prominence of this idea that just to become mature, to become a mature saint, carries with it kind of like lots of trials, and in the trials, a call for endurance and perseverance, just from one book, to show you how prominent it is in just one book. The college group has just launched a study on the book of Hebrews, and they invited me to be a participant. So I've been reading the book of Hebrews, kind of connected to that study. But I've also been thinking about the things that have been occupying us as far as the testing of our faith and the perseverance that we need to pass the various trials and pass the test. Now, one of the concerns of the book of Hebrews, just in general, is maturity. Probably most of you know that. Concerns of Hebrews are to find your way into the Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The folks in the Old Testament fell short, but it's still out there to be, you know, obtained by the people of God. The book of Hebrews is concerned with moving on to maturity. You know, not laying again a foundation and list some of what the foundational elements are of the Christian life. But building on that foundation, what's the house you're supposed to build on the foundation? Hebrews is concerned about that. There's a great deal of emphasis on perfection and completion I'm taking hold of your inheritance. Those are all themes that occupy the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews is very much concerned with the idea of, you know, becoming a mature saint. And its concern probably is not about service, but about being a mature Christian. You know, maturity, of course, always includes service or ministry to others. But the concern in the book of Hebrews is not being a person of service to being a person of faith. You know, witness Hebrews chapter 11, you know, which is all a chapter about folks who gained approval from God, passed the test, by the way, because of things they did by faith. They walked by faith. So Hebrews' concern is not to be a person of service, so that's included, but to be a person of faith, or just a mature Christian. So now, just knowing that maturity, that a mature faith is a concern of that book, I want to parade past you some verses, all taken from the book of Hebrews, which touch on the idea that endurance and perseverance is needed if you're going to become a mature saint. And knowing that endurance is only called for, you only have to persevere when there's some sort of trial at hand. You know, you don't have to endure at Starbucks, do you? If you like Starbucks. If I go, I have to endure. I don't have to endure at Cold Stones. So as soon as endurance is spoken of, you know there's some type of trial at hand. So just as we look in these passages in Hebrews where there's some call for endurance of some sort, you know that some various trial is being encountered on this road to maturity. So there's quite, I hope I impress you with the fact that there's quite a few passages, and I probably haven't gleaned them all by any stretch actually, but there's quite a few passages in that book that reference the need for perseverance and endurance in some ways. There's 13 chapters in the book, if you don't know. So out of chapter 2, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Here the writer calls attention to the fact that to become mature, you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay close attention, much closer attention. And it's possible to drift. You can be part of it and then just drift away. Also out of chapter 2, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have to be careful not to neglect the salvation that has come through God speaking in His Son. It's possible to do that. You can just neglect it. Probably all of us know what that is. This tends to what happens. This is what you do with your house plants usually, right? None of us has as usually as an agenda to kill our houseplants. They just die from neglect, right? So there's like a reference if you want to know what it's possible to do, you know, with respect to the great salvation. And here there's some warning that if you just neglect it, you don't have to stomp on it, you know, just neglect it and you won't escape. Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So here we can be Christ's house. He is faithful, but there's one condition. You have to hold fast. And you have to hold fast all the way to the end. You have to be firm until the end. Maybe do a physical analogy there. You know, to stay firm when you were in your teens or 20s wasn't so hard, right? If you're going to live to be 70, to stay firm until the end is kind of like a challenge, right? You'll have to hold fast to some things to stay firm all the way to the end. So here, with this respect to the faith, want to be part of Christ's house, you've got to hold fast and do it, you know, firmly all the way to the end. Also out of chapter 3, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast. The beginning of our insurance, firm until the end. Similar idea there. But hold fast, you know, right from the beginning. all the way firmly until the end. Hebrews chapter 4, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering rest, any one of us may seem to have come short of it. So here the idea just, you're going in the right direction. It's not like you were astray in the sense of the direction that you were going. You just, you know, you quit too early. You came up short. You know, you were running around the bases or whatever the picture is. So it's not like you were on the wrong field or going the wrong way, but you came up short. And that's possible to do, you know, without the endurance, without the perseverance. And so there's a promise out there, but not far enough, didn't go far enough. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall. So here it takes, to get to that rest, to make it far enough, to not come up short, just takes diligence. You're going to keep working at it. And here just direct exhortation, just hold fast the confession. Again, just a call to straightforward, just don't go anyplace. Keep hanging on, hold fast. Chapter 5, for by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for somebody to teach you the elementary principles about Christ. This idea, though, that, you know, time goes by, you're supposed to make progress. Kind of like 3 years ago I was here and you were in first grade, now I'm back and you're still in first grade, you know? Kind of like you're supposed to, by this time, be in fourth grade. You're supposed to be farther down the road than you are. And now the needs that you have are again to be taught, you know, first grade stuff when you should be a lot farther past that. So something, if you don't persevere, don't endure, you just get stuck in the same place, you know, in the same grade, or however you want to picture it. And where you ought to be, what you ought to be doing, what you ought to understand by now, kind of like is beyond you, because you're, you know, not as far as you ought to be. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I just put this one up there, kind of like underline the word practice. You have to practice. You know that thing like when you took piano lessons that you never did? You know, you put the practice to get better. It's an interesting thing here that by practice, you know, we kind of get maturity and qualify for solid food and learn something about discernment of good and evil. Chapter 6, let us press on to maturity. Maturity is arrived at by pressing. You don't coast on to maturity, and let's glide on. Let's just go with the flow up to maturity. It's a press on, you know, a press on to maturity. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So several things in that little passage. Diligence, again. Again, all the way to the end. So that you not be sluggish. Kind of in the same category as drifting or neglecting. Here it's just sluggish. You know, how you feel in the morning before you've had coffee type of thing. And something here at the end about patience. Not just through faith, not just by faith, but through faith and patience. You know, long suffering. You can only suffer long by suffering long, right? Kind of idea of what the word means. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So here you got to hold fast and you're not allowed to, you know, waver all over the place. You know, be high, be low, be in the middle, be back up low, be high. You know, don't waver. So part of holding fast has got to be done without wavering. Remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of suffering. So here, just straightforward, you endured it. Early on, there's a great, called just a great conflict. Things of suffering that you had to just endure to get through. Part of the message here is not done. You know, just because you did it back there doesn't mean, you know, it's over with. You've got to keep doing it. And then a couple more. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So we don't receive the thing that God has promised us, except to having done His will, and you only do His will if you endure. You have to endure to be a person who at the end has done His will. My righteous one shall live by faith, but if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is the writer of Hebrews quoting the book of Habakkuk. He's quoting it, by the way, from the Septuagint. But the Septuagint is the text that has this idea of shrinking back in it. So the righteous live by faith, well-known, famous phrase, dominant in the New Testament. But if you shrink back, whatever that might look like, then the Lord's not happy. Paul says a couple of times when he does a farewell to Ephesus in Acts 20, kind of like, I didn't shrink. I didn't shrink back, from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. So there's probably the opportunity to shrink back, but the Lord's not pleased if we do. Perhaps the most well-known passage out of Hebrews, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, well-known passage here. Run with endurance the race. It includes the idea of laying aside encumbrance and things that would, hinder us in any way. Despising what might distract. Despising the shame in order to, make it to the end. So again, straightforward call for endurance there. Consider him who was endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. The dangers that keep us from enduring is you're just tired, just weary. And in the weariness, you lose heart. So both an emotional kind of energy thing there, as well as just, tired out, exhausted. And then the last one, forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. So if the Lord loves you, he's going to discipline. And it's when he disciplines, you can regard it too lightly, but here, focus, you can also faint. For those of you who are parents, sometimes you might have a kid who regards your discipline too lightly. And you keep using a bigger 2x4 until you get his or her attention. But then you also can have the son or daughter who you say bad, and they wilt. They faint. We can be that way with the Lord. You can just, the Lord just said bad, and okay, you're ready to quit. You faint. It's important to endure in the discipline, because he disciplines everyone whom he receives. Everyone who's a child of his. So there's just passages from one book. I hope, there's 3 pages of them. I hope it captured your attention, if nothing else. Kind of like, man, that writer of Hebrews was sure hung up on the idea of, of holding fast and of enduring and persevering and not neglecting, etc. The main point, and it's very simple, that if you're going to become mature, which probably all of us desire, you're going to have to do these things. That's the point. If you want to be mature, if you want to be a mature saint, you're going to have to do these things. It's like showing you a job description and saying, job for mature saint, you want to apply, it entails doing these things. You're not going to get maturity on sale. It doesn't go on sale. There's no shortcuts that cut off the hilly sections of the course. So that you can take that abbreviated, route to maturity. It's just going to involve these things. So again, I hope the sheer number of exhortations, of reminders, is sobering, is instructive. Maturity takes constant effort. probably not a word that kind of like, or an idea that is real favorable to Americans' hearts. We don't like things that take constant effort. And you ask me, well, okay, how much effort exactly? And the answer that the book of Hebrews itself gives, well, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your striving against sin. So how much effort does it take? And part of the answer, the NIV answer, is if you're still breathing, you still got something to give. So a lot of effort, up to shedding your blood in your striving. If you haven't done that yet, kind of like, you know, we still got some room to play, you know, to work with. So that, again, it's really the only point that I have to make this morning. Just to be a saint, you're going to have plenty of various trials. And to get through all those trials, you're going to need to endure. You're going to need to persevere. You're going to need to be patient. You're going to need to hold fast. There's going to be opportunity to neglect and just to drift. Or to be sluggish, you know, or to shrink back. You're going to have to hold fast. You know, you're going to have to press on. You're going to have to not waver. You have to be diligent. You know, you're going to have to practice. You know, and you're going to have to do all those things all the way to the end. So you're going to need to do all those things to be a mature saint. So here, just take just a few moments. It's instructive, at least for me, and hopefully it would be some for all of us. You know, what do such things look like right now in your own walk with the Lord? You know, if you're going to not neglect, if you're not going to, you know, drift, if you're not going to waver, if you're going to hold fast, if you're going to persevere, if you're going to be patient, if you're going to practice, if you're going to press on, what does that look like right now in your own journey with the Lord? You know, how do they find expression, you know, right now? So if I yell at you, don't drift, you know, how does that, you know, apply in your life? If I say, don't lose heart, you know, if I say, run with endurance, the race set before you. So here's a few possible areas. It could be just your presence, you know, your involvement with the Lord, the things of the Lord, and the people of the Lord. You know, sometimes 90% of endurance is just showing up type of idea. You know, so you just need to be there, wherever there is for a second. You know, don't neglect the assembling together. Just, you need to be there. And so to endure is to show up. So there's one area. You know, maybe to endure and persevere just means to engage and work at, you know, the things of the Lord with others, other brothers and sisters. When's the last time you had coffee or a meal where what you did at that coffee or meal is you just worked together at things of the Lord? You know, rather than just talk about the Lakers and your summer plans or, you know, things you're doing on your house or, you know, just shoot the breeze. Kind of like, when's the last time? Kind of like, let's work on things of the Lord. And you maybe say, you know, I used to do that. I haven't done that for years. You know, well, maybe to do it. You know, maybe it's something personal and individual disciplines. Maybe it's what you're doing when nobody else is around. You know, study, you know, in prayer, in worship, individual disciplines. You know, maybe it's involves just getting your mind in gear. You know, when's the last time you actually really studied anything? Oh, I did that back when I was in school. I don't study stuff anymore. You know, well, maybe, you know, maybe you should pick up the book of Hebrews and study it, kind of like, you know, work at it a little bit. You know, put your mind in gear. So maybe it's just personal disciplines. Don't neglect them. Maybe it's setting aside something, you know, that entangles, slows you down. Something that you don't need. You know, the thing that you know it's not healthy. You know it's not good. You know, it's a spiritual equivalent to eating junk food. Or too many sweets. You know, it's like, you know that's not good for you. You're trying to be a person who perseveres and endures and who doesn't neglect, you know, and is not wavering. What are you doing with that thing? You know, lay it aside. Put it away. You know, maybe that idea of just sluggish and drifting. Again, there's not too much in the book of Hebrews where you violently cast it off. Okay, you know, to hell with it. It's more you drift away and you're just sluggish. You haven't paddled, you know, in a long time. You just drift with the current. Or you lose heart. This is a challenging one for me personally. You know, because there's so many things kind of like, no matter how hard you paddle, it doesn't seem to make any difference. So why paddle? Seems to be an obvious conclusion. So you lose heart. You know, it's just a discouragement there. What difference does it make if you're mature or not? Who cares? And then the last one I put down is, you know, perhaps to be occupied only with the elementary. That's taken right out of the book of Hebrews. You know, to be occupied only, you know, with the foundational. And all you ever want to do is, let's review one more time the ABCs. You know, and the ABCs, the elementary things of Christ, are very great. Repentance from dead works and a faith towards God and a baptism, etc. Very great things. But just to stay there because now they're known and they're now familiar, again, to switch it to like a natural level. If every week you came here to Koinonia and I said, okay, we're going to, let's do our ABCs, kind of like A, what comes next? B, yeah, right, good. Good, we're really getting these ABCs, and do that all the way up to Z, and then we'll come back and do it next week. We don't want to stay here forever. ABCs are important, and yes, we keep using them, but we don't want to just be occupied with the foundational things forever. It's something that marks the evangelical church, that we are forever stuck. Not to pick too strongly on no one particular agenda, but there are classes at SMCC who are perennial occupied with the question of, does God exist? Yes. Okay, let's move on. How many more proofs do you need that he exists? You know, he does more than just merely exist. You know, you're stuck there at the very first question. It's a very great thing that God exists, but there's more to the story. And there's more to the story than just, you know, repent and have faith. As great as those things are, don't stay there. So it's, after a while, it becomes comfortable to stay there. So maybe perseverance, you know, not neglecting, you know, means just lay aside those elementary things. So there's probably other areas. There's just some suggestions. I want to encourage you, find some area in your own life. Or, you know, what's it currently look like to heed all these exhortations to not drift and not be sluggish and not waver and to press, to hold fast, to persevere, to work at, to engage, you know, to keep being patient. Because they're important if you want to be a mature saint. And there's probably no one who's ever become a mature saint except they've traveled that road. So if you want to get to maturity, welcome to the various trials that accompany that path and the endurance that's needed to get there. So, hope that stirs your heart. Let's close in prayer. Father, we would be people who, well, don't just remain children, but who grow up. Father, who grow up to maturity. Grow up, Father, to be people of faith. People who know you and your ways. Father, the trials that come on that road. Father, from active ones that would push us away to other subtle things that just tempt us to drift and to be sluggish and to lose heart. Father, help us to know how to be patient and to hold fast and to practice and to not waver and press on. Father, help each one of us, I pray, identify just in his or her life what that looks like right now, to heed all these instructions and to keep running the race with endurance with our eyes fixed on your Son. Father, help us with these things. Help us to encourage each other. In them we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Greet one another.